of looking at things is a gentleman named Mitch Axelrod, who we will we'll meet here in a minute.
I'm back.
Hi, Shirley. Back.
Hi.
Hello, this is Peter.
Hey, Peter Stone. How are you doing?
All right. Is this Chris?
It's Chris Ross. Good morning.
Hey, Chris. How you doing?
I couldn't be better. I am so excited about today's call. I could hardly sleep last night.
Yeah.
But I did a shot of Ionix and dozed off randomly. You guys think? Do you think I'm joking?
Likewise, I'm excited.
Good. Who else has joined us?
Mitch is here.
Mitch, you're the guy who was making the smart aleck comments earlier, I bet.
Of course.
A little bird told me.
Hey, everybody, it's Bill T.
Hey, Bill T, how you doing?
Okay.
Hi, Bill. Hi, Peter. Hi, Mitch.
Hey, Shirley.
Hi,
Shirley.
Hi.
Hi, Shirley. Hey, Chris, I had a question.
Okay.
In some of the audio visual that and the audio that we listened to, it referred to slides.
Mm-hmm.
Any chance of getting those slides?
Well, we'd have to address that to Mitch, although I believe the vast majority of the content is in that mega marketing book that he's already sent us.
Okay.
Can I ask you which slide?
Lori Martin.
Which program were you referring to?
It's
Hi, Rory.
Hi.
It's the one about rejection.
The rejection-proof networking?
Yeah, rejection-proof.
There's a good chance you can get those slides. Mm-hmm. We'll probably make them available for internal use.
Okay.
So we'll have to see how this first couple of sessions goes, and I'd be more than happy to make those available.
Thank you very much.
Okay. Who else just joined us?
Jennifer Clayton.
Okay, Rory Martin and Jennifer Clayton?
Yes.
Good morning.
Good morning. Good morning, Rory, and for this early.
Chris, just a reminder on the background, okay?
Yeah, we'll get that when everybody's on.
Good.
Uh-huh. Who else has just joined us?
Hey, Chris, it's Michelle.
Hey, Michelle, how are you doing?
Good morning. I'm great, thank you. How are you?
Well, I already knew you were great. I'm doing really well, too. I'm excited about today's call. Who else just joined us?
Mary DeLay.
Hey,
I'm
Mary.
Hey,
Heike.
Hi.
Okay.
Hey, Mary, any trees down?
Lots and lots of branches. I was just let trees off again.
Okay.
How about with you, Peter?
We just lost a tree.
A tree?
Yeah.
Oh my gosh! Well, I just have branches and electricity, but I'm comfortable without the light because I know Mitch is going to enlighten me.
Oh, right,
absolutely.
Jeez, right. Who has just joined us on the call? If you have not yet introduced yourself, please do.
This is Ray.
Okay, let's do one. Say again.
Tom.
Hey, Tom, and who else?
Pat McKinney.
Hey, Pat McKinney. So glad you're on the call.
Thank you.
Tom, hi, Pat.
Hi.
Hey, Tom.
Hello.
Okay, I just want to let you know that today is Tom Paley's birthday, so happy birthday, Tom.
Hey, happy birthday, Tom.
A great present.
Yeah, it's a heck of a present.
Yeah, it is.
Okay, here's what I know. We have a group of powerful people on the call, and that's all of you, and your time is very valuable. So we're going to go ahead and get started. And if a few people join us here in a minute, that's great. But I don't want to cut into our opportunity to learn from Shirley and Mitch and others. Okay? So I'm going to start by saying that this is an extremely valuable and important call for us. And because it's so valuable and important, we're going to be recording the call. Now, that's not for public distribution so much as to make sure that we can come back and benefit from this call in the future or to share with our own teammates who may have missed the call. So you need to understand a couple of things about that. One is that we really, really want this to be an interactive call. That's how we're going to get the most education. I mean, this is not a lecture. This is training. So that, you know, it's not like a movie about playing baseball. We're going to get out there and practice playing baseball on the field. So we need to be able to keep the lines open so we can interact. The only way we're going to be able to keep the lines open is if everybody cooperates by focusing intently on the call. That means if you're a multitasker and you can load the dishes and do the laundry while you're on the call, that's not going to work. So we need you to focus on what's going on. And if there's other things in your life that are occurring right now that could be a distraction, like a dog barking, a baby crying, the video games in the background or whatever, let's make sure that we insulate ourselves by removing those or getting ourselves in a different environment. If that's physically impossible for you and you still want to benefit from listening, then you have the responsibility of yourself, and I'm going to ask you we won't be able to hear call. Okay? So can we please ask for everybody's commitment to keeping the background noise just gone? Can I have your commitment, please?
Yes.
Absolutely.
Okay. Awesome.
I have a question.
Okay.
I may be the only one. I have Vonage, and I've never used it for a conference call before. I don't know if I hit 6 if I'm going to lose the call. Does anybody know?
Well, it's a universal code that should work with any carrier. If you do lose the call, just dial back in.
No, okay. You won't lose it.
All right, okay. Cool.
All right, super.
Yep.
All right, so a couple other pieces of housekeeping. You absolutely want to have a paper and pencil at your hand. So if you don't have something to write with and something to write on, I'd suggest that you go quietly and get that now, okay? You need to know that I'm really excited about this call. I want to appreciate everybody for taking the time out of their morning or afternoon if you're on the East Coast to participate in this call. You're going to get more value out of this hour and a half than you have out of any other hour and a half that you've had in a long time. That's not a fact, but it's my heartfelt opinion, and I think you'll agree with me in the end. Okay.
Hey, Chris, just
yes.
One thing from Mitch here. Before you actually get into the program, give me 20 seconds to step away and begin the recording. Okay.
Okay. And
so
as soon as
you're ready to do that, let me know.
Okay, super. And we'll do that. Okay. So much for the housekeeping. Mitch, I wanted to share just a little. And by the way, folks, we have two just awesome industry leaders, tremendous people, and personal friends of mine on the call, Shirley Benton from San Diego, California, and Mitch Axelrod, who's going to be conducting the training today. And you're going to get introduced to them in just a minute. So strap in, because I know you didn't call in, for no particular reason. This is very focused training. So, Mitch, I'm going to introduce Shirley and why we're doing this first module. So, if you
why
want
don't
that,
you hold on. Let
okay.
me step away, and I'll just make one other mention for everybody.
Mm-hmm.
We are going to record this entire call. It's going to be recorded digitally. The call will be available literally within minutes after the call is complete. We'll make this call available to you. However, just for purposes of understanding that you are, if you participate and you share anything, just recognize that you're giving us permission to use your comments in the call. We're not going to edit this call. This is going to be a one-take situation, okay? So, you can ask anonymously if you don't want your name, but recognize that by essentially participating, you're giving us permission to record it and use it as is, okay? So I'm going to step away now for about 20 seconds.
Okay, and while Mitch does that, is there anybody who's joined us that has not announced themselves yet? Because we need to know who's on the call.
Jennifer.
Okay, is this Jennifer Lee?
Yeah.
Lorraine Colisi Corral.
Hi, Lorraine. Hi, Jennifer.
Hi, Lorraine.
Hi, Lorraine.
Hello.
Okay.
Hi, it's Pam's cheer.
Hi, Pam.
Hi, Pam.
Hi, Pam.
Glad you could make it. We're getting just a super turnout.
Okay.
And that shows we've got people making really good decisions already today.
We're ready to go.
All right, super.
So take it away.
All right. Well, my name's Chris Ross, and again, I'd like to welcome you to this morning's training module. We're going to talk about a concept called rejection-proof networking. And Shirley and Mitch and I, to some extent, discussed, what module should we start with. If you guys are like me, you probably have situations where you have fear or discomfort in talking with people about our business, talking with people about network marketing, and I don't know about you, but sometimes I think, oh, gosh, I'm worried about being rejected as a result of this conversation. Now, Shirley introduced me to Mitch in Los Angeles just the other weekend, and just by listening to Mitch in our conversations, not really any formal training, but I was able to glean some really powerful tips that have already been working for me, and I'm really excited about the potential that we'll all receive actually through this formal training module. So we felt together that getting people beyond this whole concept of rejection and just taking that quite literally off the table in our business, that would be a huge benefit. How many people would just like to take rejection and take it out of your life?
Yeah.
Okay. Super. All right. And I'm just going to remind everybody, this is an interactive call, so feel free to chime in accordingly. Okay, so that's how we came up with, you know, this would be just a great first module. And we're going to get started in a minute, but I wanted to introduce you to those of you who don't know her, or just to remind those of you who do, that this is all possible because of an awesome lady who's the, you know, just right the centerpiece, I call her, of our team, and that is Shirley Benton. So welcome, Shirley.
Thank you, Chris.
Okay.
And I'm really glad everybody has made the decision to be on this call this morning, because I think it's going to take you to a different height in your business. And also, this is works for, you know, your professional and your personal life as well.
Absolutely. Now, before Shirley goes any further, I just got to give Shirley some credit. We need to take a step back and remind ourselves that she's the whole reason we even have a Champions by Choice team. I don't think there's a person on this call that would even be on this team or involved with this tremendous company or maybe even in this tremendous industry if it wasn't for Shirley. And on a personal side, she's an awesome friend of mine. I consider her my personal mentor and absolutely my partner in success. I mean, I don't know about you guys, but directly or indirectly, we're all getting propped up by Shirley every day.
Mm-hmm.
And it's really my privilege to work with you, Shirley, and I thank you so much, especially for introducing me to Mitch, because already just having Mitch in my life has changed my business. So with that, I give you Shirley Benton.
Thank you very much, Chris. And likewise, I so enjoy working with you. So you're just awesome, and thank you for hosting this call. I'd like to introduce you to my dear friend, Mitch Axelrod. He's a professional speaker, financial advisor, coach, author, and I could go on and on and on about his accomplishments. But he's helped thousands of companies to generate more than $1 billion of new income. And what's so great about this is it doesn't really cost hardly a thing, because the principles that Mitch is going to teach us about today, that's not going to cost you a penny. So another thing, too, is I really want to acknowledge Mitch for giving us this very valuable training, because this is his gift to us, and this is by invitation only. So there's only a few of us that are really able to get this knowledge from Mitch, and Mitch, we thank you so much for giving us a gift. And with Mitch's help, he's helped 500 companies increase their sales by like $33 million in 90 days. He's spoken to millions of people through, you know, 3,000 live appearances in radio and television. He's written hundreds of articles and just so much. And he's a very, very dear friend of mine. We've known each other for a good, I'm going to say, 12 years. So, and Mitch has also written a book called The New Game of Business, and it is changing the game of business and the game of networking. So I would like to give you right now to Mitch Axelrod. Thank you very much, Mitch.
Shirley, thank you so much. It is really, truly a delight. As Shirley said, I've had the good fortune for 27 years now to be able to kind of live my passion. And I would ask just one more reminder before we get started. If you have any background noise at all, please hit the number 6 on your keypad, and this way we can keep the lines open without having to disengage from you. Okay? Even side conversations we can pick up. So you're always welcome to come back on the call by hitting 6 again. Even heavy breathing. I know I create some fire, but I really I don't think we need the heavy breathing today.
Okay.
All right. So, first of all, let me say that the greatest joy and the greatest pleasure I get is in seeing the light go on for other people. I don't know that there's more important work to do, more pleasurable work to do, more gratifying work to do than to help somebody chip away at all the marble, all the baggage that they've built up over the years and get down to finding their true selves. I call it finding true north. So I've had the good pleasure and privilege to work with literally millions of people, but I will tell you that today is extra special for me because we're all a team. And I will give you everything that I've got today. I will bring the best I have to play with you today, to coach, to train. And my feeling is that we're all CEOs. And I've coined a term for CEO that I believe is the new game CEO, and that is the Chief Encouragement Officer. And what I would love to do is to see us all out there being the Chief Encouragement Officers for everybody that we come into contact with, because in the new game, everybody counts. So it's today it's really a thrill for me because the efforts that we put forth today, and by sharing this information, that some of the models that we're going to cover today, you're going to spread light to other people. And I don't just mean that. I don't just mean that metaphysically or spiritually. I mean that from a very pragmatic perspective. And so my agenda here today is twofold. The first part is to actually help us to reframe the game of network marketing. And what we're calling this program, this is really the official launch, if you will, of the first training of the new game of network marketing. And I want to spend a little time in the first 15 or 20 minutes to give you the benefit of my experience and why I believe that network marketing is on the verge of the biggest explosion and growth in the history of the business. And we're going to make some important distinctions today. I've always been a believer that big doors swing on small hinges. I first used that term back in 1991 when I was giving the keynote speech for Brian Tracy International. Some of you might have heard of Brian Tracy. Brian was is a dear friend of mine and a mentor. And in the new game, I say that small distinctions yield big payoffs. And so today we're going to make some small distinctions that, in my estimation, will have a huge impact on your life, your work, your business, your income, because they've had a huge impact for me and most of the people I've shared them with. So what I would ask you to do is if along the way we are definitely going to open up to questions, comments, and then the second half of this program, we're going to actually take you through a process that will eliminate rejection forever. Today is the first day of the rest of your life without rejection, and I promise you that. In fact, that is my big promise today, is that we will eliminate rejection as an issue in your life from here on out. Now, I'm not saying we're going to eliminate fear, and we're going to make that distinction, because fear is a very, very big thing, and I don't know that we could tackle that in 45 minutes to an hour. And that's something I leave to people like my good friend Pete Pearson, who is more trained to deal with those kinds of things. I'm going to talk about how we can get rid of rejection and how we can actually recommunicate what we do in such a way that we will be attractive to people as compared to the old game, which where most network marketers were repulsive to people and repel them. I want you to be able to attract people. So to get started, let me make a couple of distinctions, all right? And also, if you're near a computer, I want you to be able to access, we're going to probably go through three or four web pages where I have certain models already online. And so if you're near a computer, all of these web pages are going to be accessible at thenewgame.com/. So if you go to www.thenewgame.com and you put a /, as we go forward, I'm going to tell you what to put after those forward slashes so that you can access the model right online and watch it as we go through it. Okay? So first thing I want to talk about is this new game of business. There's three things I want to bring up. The first thing is that we're in a completely new world. Most of you probably know and have experienced how different the world is today than it was just a few short years ago. We used to be in the information age, and we zipped through the information age to the point where now we're on information overload. We have more information than we can stand to sort through in the course of a day. And so we evolved into a new age, and that is the age of service. And so right now, we're smack dab in the middle of the service age. And service, in the next couple of years, is going to be the major distinction for companies that get the business and increase their market share, and that companies that lose business because they're playing the old game. And the major distinction for the next new game, in my opinion, and I don't have a crystal ball, but this is my opinion, is the next new game is distribution. And distribution is a game that you're already in. Distribution is a game where you position yourself in the path of opportunity in between a manufacturer who has a product and a consumer who uses that product. All right? That's the game of distribution. And with downsizing and outplacement and outsourcing and jobs disappearing faster than we can even keep track, most of those people who are losing their jobs are not going back into that industry to get that job. There's never been a better time to be in this business. There's never been a better time to be in smack dab in the middle of the path of distribution. I predict that within 5 years, 50 million Americans will be in the distribution business. I would just ask the person with the background noise to please hit number 6 on your keypad. Okay, thank you. So, the big shift in the game, and this is the seismic shift in the new game of business. Most of you have heard the term caveat emptor. Caveat emptor means, anybody? What does caveat emptor mean?
Buyer beware.
Let the buyer beware. That's the old game of business. The old game was where the sellers had all the information, they had all the products, they had the distribution, they had the research and development. Here's the new game. The new game is caveat vendedor. Let the seller beware. You are all buyers. I'm a buyer. You know how you like to be served. You know the companies you like to do business with. Now, the seismic shift in business is that you, the consumer, have all the power. You hold the ultimate hammer, which is money. And because with the rise of the Internet as a marketing medium, as a communications medium, with instant communications through instant messaging and email, with Google giving us access to research that we can, in minutes, get information on any company that might have used to take hours and hours at the library, the consumer now has the power. And what's more is that the consumer has almost infinite choice. So when you combine the power of information with choice, with the ability to go direct to a manufacturer and buy a product, there is a completely new game being played in the world of business. And you can choose to play it and be on the cutting edge of it and get into the game first and learn the skills to master the game. Or you can stand in the stands on the sidelines and watch other people play the game. That's up to you. That's your choice. I heartily encourage you to jump on the field and get in the game. And if you get in the game, I also encourage you to embrace one more new game principle, and that is new thinking. I call it no-box thinking. Throw the box away. Don't operate inside the box. Don't operate outside the box. Throw the box away. Clean the slate. And every day you have the ability to start fresh and start new. So if you start this program and this training with no-box thinking, meaning you have a clean slate, You don't allow your past experiences to color your present or your future. You can actually transform the game one person at a time. And that's part of what our objective here is to help really transform this game of network marketing to the point where you're so proud of what you do that you could literally go out and talk to every single person and say, I'm in network marketing and I'm darn proud of it. Okay? How many of you do that every day? You guys do this every day? Do you go out and say, I'm in network marketing and I'm darn proud of it?
Haven't done it today.
Mm-mm. No? Well, you just may after today, because we're going to help you to change the game and reframe the game. So let's take a few minutes and talk about what is network marketing, all right? Because I'm not sure that we really have a grasp of what network marketing is, because if we did and we were able to understand what this game is at a gut level, you would want to offer the opportunity for everybody to play. And so one quick distinction, network marketing is not a business. Let me repeat that. Network marketing is not a business. Now, I'm going to say things today that are absolutely going to fly in the face of what you might have heard in the future. Don't take what I say as gospel. This is just one man's perspective, all right? Take all your information in and make your own choices. However, like the internet, network marketing is not a business. It's a marketing model. That's the very important distinction to make, because we have so much baggage attached to network marketing. In fact, when Shirley and I was doing a seminar in San Diego a year and a half ago, and we had about 30 people in the room, and I used two words. I said, okay, I want you to tell me what comes up for you when you hear the words network marketing, all right? And all you could do is say one or two words. And we went around the room, and, of course, all the people who are in network marketing who are successful said things like wonderful, terrific, freedom, independence, money, all right? Then all the people who were not in network marketing or had a bad experience in network marketing, you can imagine what they must have said. One woman just yelled out, yuck, you know? That was her experience of network marketing. And I'll bet you if you asked 100 people randomly, I'm going to ask you one more time, please. We're getting a lot of background noise. Somebody's moving around. All you got to do is hit 6 so that we don't catch all this interference on the tape. Please cooperate with us on that.
Is that 5-6?
No,
that's
just 6.
Number 6. Thank you. Now, if you go out and ask 100 people and say, what comes up for you, like a reporter, go do this. Try this out. You don't have to do 100. Ask 10 people. Go out and ask them what comes up for you when you say the words when I say the words network marketing, and see how people react to it. See how people respond to it. In about 10 minutes, I'm going to give you a model that will enable you to clear the past from anybody's past experience of network marketing and do it in 5 or 10 minutes. Would that be helpful for you?
Mm-hmm.
You bet.
A model where you could literally clear the past. Well, first thing is that if you know what network marketing is, then you don't have to get into a battle with people to defend it. You don't have to apologize for it. You don't have to be defensive about it. Because very simply, network marketing is not a business. It's a model. It's a marketing model. And it so happens to be, right now, the fastest growing marketing model on the planet. There are actually organizations springing up. One in particular, WOMMA, Word of Mouth Marketing Association. Excuse me, but what is the Word of Mouth Marketing Association? What is that really? Hello?
Yeah.
What is it? It's network marketing. What is referral marketing? It's network marketing. What is person-to-person marketing? Network marketing. So the first thing I suggest you do is you really internalize what network marketing is. It's a marketing model. And now you don't have to defend it because truly it's a marketing model. And if somebody wants to use another marketing model, by all means use another marketing model. The bottom line is this is a person-to-person business. All right? So don't defend it. Don't apologize for it. don't attack and don't have to justify it. Bottom line is, it's a marketing model that you're choosing to help you. And in a, when we get to the second half of this, we're going to have you come up with the statement that you're going to make to people when they say, what do you do? So that you can proudly, comfortably, confidently say, what I do is this. And I'm not talking about an elevator speech, something that goes far beyond that. So point number one, network marketing is a marketing model. It's not a business. Number two, network marketing is a great game, and here's why. It's the only game that millions of people can play without any kind of restriction, qualification, past history, credentials, education, work-life experience, where you can create a residual income or even an active income, just an income, period. Why? Because the network marketing model puts you in the game of distribution. And let's say, for an argument's sake, you said for the next 5 years, I'm going to build a community of 1,000 people who use this product line. And let's say you don't feel comfortable talking about the business for whatever reason. You can go out and tell everybody that you're in the distribution game, and here's the products that you distribute. And should anybody like to participate and take advantage of these products, you're available to help them. And you would be happy if, just like an affiliate on the Internet, somebody gave your affiliate number so you get credit for introducing people to really good products. You could make a living. You could make a great living in this business just doing that, just being in the distribution business. On top of which, here's the challenge. Most of us know economically what's going on in the world. I call this a cosmic convergence. Never before has there been a time in our history where so many economic factors are converging, are conspiring against the individual. When you consider that right now, 1,100 pension plans in America affecting 15 million people are currently $350 billion short, with almost no chance of ever being fully funded. So there's 15 million people out there right now who are going to come up short in their pension. How are they going to make that money up? Most of them don't have a plan. Social Security, uncertain, and even in, if you get it, it's going to be minimal. Jobs, the bedrock of our society, jobs. If you wanted a job, you could always get a job. Jobs are not secure. I'm going to ask one more time, please, would you please hit number six so we minimize the background noise? Chris, could we go on moderator mode?
Yes, sir.
Thank you. Okay, so jobs. Jobs are not secure. We know that. So here's the deal. We have a game here that can help people change the odds of retirement. Right now, the odds of retirement are 49 to 1. 2% of Americans get to the magical day where they call retirement with the ability to actually continue to live their comfortable lifestyle without having to work. When I started in financial planning 27 years ago, that number was 5%. In a little over one generation, we've gone from 5% financially independent in this country to 2%. Amidst the greatest economic explosion from 1978, when I started in financial planning, to 2006, there's been the greatest economic expansion in American history, which means in the world history, more wealth has been created, more millionaires have been created, and yet the number of people retiring financially independent has gone down. So this is the only vehicle for most people where you give them a chance to win that game. And so what I would really heartily encourage you to do is to begin to reframe the game. And how you reframe the game, in my opinion, one way is to stop labeling it and to start communicating with people in language, in phrases, and in a way that helps them to see what it is that they're looking to accomplish, and poses to them the possibility that there's an option out there that they might not have considered, or if they had tried it in the past, today is a whole new game. It's a whole new world. And so when you come from that confidence, when you come from knowing that you've got something that could really change people's lives, and we haven't even talked about the products yet, we're just talking about the economics, you are a messenger. And you're one of the few messengers of hope and faith and service and mission and the possibilities that people see that they run into. So how you position yourself, how you present yourself, how you show up means everything. It means everything. And so the last change I want to talk about is the shift from workers to networkers. The old game was about workers. People worked. They had a job. They didn't think too much about their network. They never thought too much about who do I know, who do I know, who can help me, until they either lost their job or decided to get another job. Today, we all need to be networkers, which means that we've shifted from a dependent world, we work for someone, they pay us, to an interdependent world. We blew right past independence and to interdependence. And now our world is about who is on our team. And one of the reasons I am so really thrilled to be doing this is because there's nothing that matters more to me than helping people on my team to succeed and improve and feel better about themselves and in turn get that back from them, to be supportive and supportable. So the last distinction I want to talk about relative to the new game is this whole idea that team, your team, is more important than your talent. Let me say that again. Your team is more important than your talent. Now, you want to build both, all right, because your talent is very important. You're nothing more important than your skills. Your skills, you take them with you everywhere you go. And yet, your team is just as important because you cannot do it alone. And the problem we face in this industry or this kind of work is that there are more than one thing that we need to do well. We need to attract people to our work. We need to convert them. We need to keep them, for sure. And then we need to duplicate them. Those are four different distinct kinds of behaviors. You do attraction differently than you do conversion. You do conversion differently than you do keeping. You do attraction, conversion, and keeping differently than you do duplicating. It's the only type of business, if you will, in the world where you have all four of those components. Most businesses, they attract them, they convert them, and they keep them. All right? So don't feel deficient. Don't feel diminished if one of those things you don't do well. Find the one that you do well and go out and align with people who do the others well. The beautiful part about network marketing that doesn't exist in most other businesses or most other careers or most other kinds of models is that you can actually go out and find people who are stronger than you, more experienced than you, maybe even better than you in certain ways, and definitely more connected than you, and you can attract them to your opportunity because you have a horse to ride. And so when you start to look at the strength of your team, don't feel compelled to do it all yourself, and never feel diminished that you don't do one of these aspects well. Why? Because guess what? There's somebody above you or somebody below you in your organization, on your team, who can help support you to do what you don't do well. And the best teams are not necessarily a conglomerate of the best individual players. The best teams are the teams that play well together. And this is one of the few areas in the business world where you can maximize your leverage by creating a team and by aligning yourself with people far more talented than you, far more connected than you. And the great thing is you can encourage their success and not hold them back. How great is that? For people who work for corporations, people who work in a very strict, rigid hierarchy, many of them are stifled because the people above them hold them down. They're not encouraged. They're not supported. They're not elevated to do more, be more, have more, contribute more. There's politics that get in the way. Here, there's no politics. Here, the only politic is, how can I help you become better, more successful than you were yesterday? That is a great ethos to be part of. And when we get past the past, which we're going to be able to do very shortly now, once you get past the past and you can live in the present and you can look to the future, there is nothing that can stop you. So look at your team. Look at the kinds of people you would like to attract to your team. Describe them. Create a language about who they are. And you're going to see when we get to rejection-proof networking, that's a critical component, one of the three critical components. All right? So, team, critical. Skills, critical. I want to start to talk about now the process of how do we clear the past. All right? And how do we begin to speak to everybody we talk to in such a way where we can get them focused on the present, all right? So this is where we go to our first slide. And the first slide is at thenewgame.com/stimulusresponse.jpg. So everything we're going to do is at thenewgame.com/. This forward slash is stimulus. Response, one word, .jpg. Chris, you want to open it up just to see if everybody's out there? Okay. You guys all there?
We're here.
Okay. Oh. Any questions? Does anybody have any questions or comments so far at all and anything or anything you'd like to say?
Well,
try that again.
Let me try it again. It sounded like it's toggling backwards. Hang on.
Okay. Anybody there?
Oh. Could you spell the website?
Yes. The website is thenewgame.com/. They're all going to be thenewgame.com/. Stimulusresponse.jpg. Okay? Stimulus, S-T-I-M-U-L-U-S, response, R-E-S-P-O-N-S-E, .jpg. And what should show up for you is something called the stimulus response model. And how to make new choices. If you are not online right now and you're away from a computer, what I'd like you to do is put a big S with an arrow horizontally to a big R. Stimulus-response.
Mitch, can you ask them once again if everybody that does have a computer, if they've been able to find it?
Okay.
Yeah, I'm here.
Anybody not find it? Okay. Stimulus response. And if you can't find it, again, just put on your page and pay attention to what we're saying, because what you hear is going to be more important than what you see. What you see is just a framework. This right here will alter the game completely for you. It has for me, and it has for everybody we've shared this with. The game we're playing is a game of communication. Would you all agree that's the game?
Yes.
Communication is the single most important skill that you can develop here. I would say communication is even more important than enthusiasm. And I believe enthusiasm is very important. And as you begin to language and communicate more effectively and you improve that skill, there's a direct correlation to your success. So we're going to focus on how do you help people clear the past using the stimulus response model, all right? Now, going back to what we talked about earlier, we said that most people have an experience of network marketing in the past. Isn't that pretty much true?
When you consider
100 million people, 100 million people have come and gone through the turnstiles of the stadium or the game called network marketing just in the United States. That's an astounding number. That's like one out of every three people. And for the other 200 million, except for those little babies, most people have had an experience.
I'm going to take us back in the other mode here.
Thank you.
I just locked this, Chris. You there, Chris?
Yep.
Okay. Most people have had a past experience, or they know somebody who's had a past experience of network marketing, all right? So here's how you clear the past, for yourself first, and then for anybody that you meet. Human beings are almost one step away from animals in terms of their fight or flight mechanism. And when you meet somebody, when you engage them, you can be sure of one thing, that somewhere deep inside of them, their human nature is eventually going to shine through. And human nature being what it is, we have a very hard time letting go of the past. I would bet that for each of us on the phone here, myself included, we all have an area of our lives where we can't let the past go. And I would tell you from firsthand experience, from secondhand experience, that baggage continues to carry forward until you leave it by the side of the road. When it comes to network marketing, almost everybody you talk to has had some past experience. So what we want to do now is we want to give people a space to clear the past, because when you approach somebody in the present, if they're stuck in the past, you're out of alignment. In our next session, we're going to talk about three magic words that advance relationships. Those three magic words are alignment, agreement, and commitment. That in order for you to get commitment from somebody, you have to have alignment and agreement. In order for you to get agreement from somebody, you have to have alignment. Many of us are not getting alignment because we have not been able to help people clear the past of their past experience. And so when you present yourself, you are the stimulus. And when your stimulus, whatever your stimulus is, however you approach people, whatever you say to people, that stimulus is going to cause a response. And that response is going to happen one of two ways. It's going to either be a response based on the present, which means that whatever your stimulus is in the present, and people will respond in the present, or it's going to be a reaction to something that happened in the past, that you, your language, your tonality, your communication, your words, your body language, what you say, how you say it, how you look when you say it, is going to conjure up an instant association with the past. And rather than that person responding to you based on what you're actually saying in the present, they've been transported instantly back to the past, and their reaction is going to be one of whatever that stimulus reminds them of. Now, this is not rocket science, and most of us know this, or most of us have heard of this. However, there's a difference between knowing it and actually utilizing it to your advantage in such a way where you can help people clear the past. So here's the thing. It's been said that insanity, and I'm sure you all know the definition of insanity, is doing the same thing over and over and over again and expecting a different result. What's amazing is that in this industry, for 50 years, we've been stimulating people the same way over and over and over again, expecting that they're going to respond differently. And the truth of the matter is, if you want a different response, don't try to control the response. Control the stimulus. Change your stimulus. Change the way that you present yourself when you approach people. Because if you don't, how you approach people is going to trigger some past experience. If it was a good experience in the mind of the person, a positive, great. If it was negative, if they lost money, if they lost prestige, if they lost reputation, if they lost their enthusiasm, if their expectations were smashed, then you're going to create a, quote, bad reaction. And it's very hard to change that reaction once you cause that stimulus to force that reaction. So if you would like to start to change tomorrow, today even, the reaction that people have to a response in the present, change your stimulus. And we're going to talk in a little bit when we get into the Millionaire to Lunch, exactly how do you change the stimulus, all right? Now, for you, if you want to alter the past, and if you want to change the past for yourself, here's how you can begin to do it. There's a gap between stimulus and response. I call that the decision gap. It's, for some people, it's a fraction of a second. For other people, it's years. In between stimulus and response, there's the freedom to choose. You can either choose a response in the present, or you can go back and react from the past. If you want to change your own past, whenever that stimulus comes up that takes you back in time without getting into long therapeutic sessions or any why it's created, very simple. Allow yourself the time between stimulus and response to get into that gap and respond in the present. And if any of those feelings of the past come up, just allow them to come and then allow them to go and say, okay, let me get centered in the present. Now, there are two ways that you can alter a person's past. I'm sure there's more, but there's two ways that any of us as lay people can do it. Number one, and the best way, is to change your stimulus. So I want you to think about 30 seconds, and I will. Now, one more point on this before we actually open the lines up and talk a little bit more about it, because this is going to lead us right into how do you completely eliminate rejection. So one way you do it is you change your stimulus, all right? Here's another way. You come out directly with making no bones about it, and you say to somebody something like, I use network marketing to create financial independence for myself. Have you ever been involved in network marketing? Okay? That's another way to do it. Now, you may say, Mitch, what are you, crazy? You want to empty out a room real quick? Okay? That might happen. However, some of us like to be direct. So imagine what would happen if you went to people and said, I do network marketing, I'm in network, however you phrase that, or I use network marketing to, and you fill in the blank, achieve financial independence, to free myself up from a job, to insulate myself against economic change and make up for my pension, to ensure my retirement no matter what happens outside in the outside world, to help create residual income for myself and other people who want to play the game with me, to get more money for college, to be financially independent in 3 to 5 years, all right, to improve the quality of my health and well-being, to build net worth, to put people in business so they can quit their job in 3 years or less, whatever it is that you use network marketing to do, another way you can clear the past for people is to come right at them, tell them, don't be apologetic, be direct, and then here's the transition. Here's that little gap. Have you ever been involved in network marketing? Okay, now we brought you back. So, question. What could happen if you said to somebody as boldly and directly as, I use network marketing too, and then you fill in your blank, and you ask the question, have you ever been involved in network marketing? What could happen?
You want the lines open, Mitch?
I think I just opened the line. You guys out there? This is not working.
Are you pressing 7?
Okay, you guys out there now?
Let me try it.
All right, go ahead. Hello?
Is everybody out there? Try one more time.
Try one more time. Okay?
Yes.
Okay, great. All right, so what could happen if you went to somebody and just boldly said to them, I use network marketing to insulate myself against losing my job and a decrease in my pension. What could happen?
I don't know. Somebody might say, really? How's that working?
That's one thing they could say. What else could they say?
They could laugh at you.
They could laugh at you. Good. Okay, what else could they say?
That's a pyramid.
That's a pyramid. Okay, good. What else could they say? Come on, you've all had people say stuff to you, right?
Yeah, this is the interactive
involved
part
in
of the call.
What's that?
I don't get involved in that.
Say that again.
Don't want to get involved in that.
Okay, I don't want to get involved in that. Okay, good. What else did they say?
Is that where you sell to all of your friends?
Okay.
What?
No. What else could they say?
I'm on it.
I don't like telling.
Folks, I gotta ask you one more time, please. If you're going to have background conversations, please mute your line, okay? What else could they say?
They could say, I don't know what you mean.
Okay.
Exactly.
I want you to see the power of stimulus response, dear. All right? When you listen to this tape, you go back and listen to what all of you said, what's the common theme among all the answers that you gave me when I asked you? What's the common theme?
Most of them are negative.
Most of them are negative.
Skepticism.
What's that?
Skepticism.
Skepticism, yes, but the combination, right? Most of them, the common ground, most of them are negative. And you guys are in the business. So you can imagine what the people out there who aren't in the business might be thinking. So rather than shy away from that, rather than be fearful that that's what's going to happen, one way that you can change the response or that you can bring up that issue is by telling people directly you're in network marketing. Now, here's the follow-up. Whatever they say, you can ask them, wow, it sounds like you've had an experience of it. Would you mind sharing with me your past experience of network marketing? Which, by the way, in my opinion, is a vital question you want to consider using for everybody. All right? Not from the perspective that you're going to talk them into or out of anything, but from the perspective that if you can help them clear the past of their past experience, then you have a shot to bring them into the present. So here's what you do. You ask everybody you talk to, after they bring up network marketing or you bring up network marketing, the question, how was your past experience? Could you share with me your past experience of network marketing? In other words, if they say, I don't like it, it's a pyramid, whatever they say, your response should be, really, would you mind sharing with me your past experience of network marketing? And let them go off and let them go on. Okay? Now, when they're done, very simple question. And this question will help you to determine, is it worth continuing to speak with this person at this moment in time? Or might I want to disengage and go on to the next prospect? Here's the question. Would you allow your past to get in the way of your future? Would you allow your past to get in the way of your future?
Chris, could you mute us out, please?
Okay.
So that question, would you allow your past to get in the way of your future? One of the things that I work with is known as axiology. Axiology is the study of human values. And the study of human values gives us a lot of insight into people. It was pioneered by a gentleman named Dr. Robert Hartman. He was nominated for a Nobel Prize in 1973 because he cracked the code on how to actually measure how you think and value. It was never done before, and it hasn't been done since. And we have a tool that can actually help you measure that. And Dr. Hartman once had a quote that I thought was one of the most profound quotes. He says that throughout history, men have given up their lives for the sake of their beliefs. But how many men have given up their beliefs for the sake of their lives?
Wow.
And the way I frame that in the new game, very simple to people. Are you ready and willing to give up your past for the sake of your future? And I will tell you that if you ask 100 people that question, you will never have to prospect again. Okay?
Hmm.
Are you willing to give up your past for the sake of your future? Now, we're not talking about network marketing. We're not talking about nutrition. We're not talking about any of the details that make up the business and the opportunity. We're talking about a life-changing decision. We're talking about the distance between stimulus and response. And are you really ready and willing to give up the past for the sake of the future? Are you ready to allow yourself to look at something that did not work out for you in the past if, in fact, it just might be the ticket to your financial future? So if a person can't get past the past, how much chance do you have to work with them in the present? No matter what you want them to do, whatever you're pitching, whether you're pitching, let's go to a movie, or, you know, I've been to bad movies, I'm never going to go to a movie again. Okay, have you ever lost a job? Yeah, I lost my job 20 years ago. I'll never get one of them again. I mean, you know, you could really break it down to the ridiculous. That is the power of the stimulus response model. In fact, if we stopped right here, right now, you would probably have enough to be able to go out there, talk to anybody, anywhere, anytime, and help them bracket off the past from the future and enable them to tell you, yes, you know what, Chris, I think I'm ready. I'm ready to allow myself to look at something that didn't work in the past, today, in the present, for the possibility that I'd have a better future. And if the answer is no, I can't let it go, fine. You tell me, when would you like me to call you again? Because the truth of the matter is, I can't speak to you about network marketing. I can't speak to you about a business opportunity. I can't speak to you about improving the quality of your life. I can't speak to you about stability, security, independence, retirement insurance, becoming a future millionaire, getting more money for college, being financially independent, eliminating toxins from your body, losing weight. If you've done it once before and it didn't work and you're unwilling to put the past behind you, when you're willing to put the past behind you and you want to have a great conversation about the present now and the possibility of a different future, I am one phone call away. And by the way, Shirley, who do you know who would be ready to hear about what I've got available? So even if the person is not ready to hear it, you still might be able to get them to introduce you to somebody who is. Chris, let's go back live.
Okay.
Try again.
Everybody there?
Okay. Now, questions, comments, concerns. No criticisms. We don't take criticisms.
I was concerned about using that because people are already suspicious because of the negative. As soon as you say network marketing, they're already suspicious and are backing away from you going, oh, God, you're going to sell me something. Or you're going to try to get me into your pyramid. And, you know, even though you've asked them to tell you about their past experience and you've really listened and engaged them, using a statement like, would you allow your past to get in the way of your future, sounds a little scripted, perhaps, and I'm concerned that they would say, well, you know, you're still trying to sell me something. And I would be concerned, I mean, maybe I would need to think of a different way to say it, but I would be concerned about that's not going to get past their suspicion.
Well, that's a very good point. Thanks to in the past.
Certainly in the past.
Okay. So here's what I suggest. You may be right, but what if you're not? What if you said that to 100 people and you gave them the choice to respond the way they want to respond? And by the way, I said this was only one way, right?
Right.
We have another way we're going to talk about here very shortly. So this is only one way. See, having been in sales my whole life, and don't let anybody tell you that this business is not a sales business, quote unquote, all right? It's just a different kind of sales business. We could measure everything in terms of our success by our sales volume. Isn't that true? And
yeah.
Every company needs sales. Without sales, imagine if all you did was market and you didn't have anybody come in and buy the product or get on auto ship.
No.
Would you be in business?
No.
For long.
Not long. Why? Because marketing is an expense. It's either an expense in money, time, energy, resources, but sales are income. So we all need sales, whatever business we're in. If your company doesn't have sales, guess what? You don't have a job. So what I suggest is, just like not prejudging, don't prejudge what other people might say. You know what? If 50 of them said that to you, oh, well, you know, I heard that before. Okay, great. So I'm going to ask you again. Could you allow yourself to look at something in the present without the taint or the color or the perception or the prism of the past? Because if you're telling me that you have bad past experience, quote, unquote, and I want to talk to you about something that could benefit you in the present and the future, but you won't hear me, then does it really make sense for me to talk about this to you today?
Yeah.
Okay? So you can find your own language for this, but all I suggest is don't prejudge whether it will work or won't work. Don't prejudge how people will respond. Give them the option to respond in their own way. Okay? That's all I could say, because I don't know how 100 people will respond to this. I do know this. We've got somebody playing piano in the background.
Or a computer. Yeah, I'm going to take just 30 seconds. This call is going to work great if we can be interactive. So, again, if there's people rattling dishes or if you got a computer on, turn the volume down. And if you can't make it just dead quiet in the room you're in, then please press the 6 button so the rest of us can continue to interact. It's so vitally important. Thank you very much.
And so one of the ways that we overcome our own reaction to stimulus is we give ourselves permission to try things that we haven't done before and not prejudge whether they will work or won't work. One of the premises of marketing in any business, and you're in business, one of the premises of marketing in every business is testing. There has yet to be a successful product launched without testing, and those of you who know the story of Isagenics, you know that the company was launched not because somebody created a product they thought people might want and then went out and tried to find people who wanted it. Isagenics was created by somebody who took a product, gave it to 200 people to try, test, and those 200 people came back with roaring approval saying, we want more, and we want to share this with our friends. All right? So all I encourage you to do is not prejudge, test it. Find your own way of doing things. You know, the thing that I disagree with in the industry, and this is just my personal opinion, if you focus on systems too much, you lose yourself. The best way to do this business is your way. And your way, meaning taking coaching and counseling from other people, but the best way to do this business is your way. Here's why. Do you know that each of us is not duplicatable? That's true. However, if you do the business your way and you're able to find a real good, it might be very difficult because you may not be the kind of person who likes to work a particular system. So adapt what we're talking about to you. Don't adapt you to what we're talking about.
I'm going to comment. We've got about 15 minutes officially left on the call, and I'm going to wait. But I had a tremendous experience that was a positive one about dealing with somebody. I did this as a test, about dealing with somebody that had a negative response in the past, and I got a completely different result when I did a couple of things you said, Mitch. And once we get through that piece or whenever you think it's appropriate, I'd love to share that.
Okay. Well, I would grab a few extra minutes here if there's any way you can extend this.
It'll let us go for a little while.
Okay, good. Other issues, because what I want to do is I want to spend time now giving you the other way that you can do the stimulus response and alter people's response to you. But before we get into that, anybody else have any questions or comments or thoughts?
Yeah, Mitch, at what point do you move on to the next person?
Well, that's a personal call. I don't believe in alienating people. I don't believe in bridges with people. I had a call come in the other day, a client of mine from 13 years ago. We worked with a big company, helped the company grow dramatically. And 13 years later, the president of the company picked up the phone and called me and gave me the inside track to do a bid on a huge training contract, okay? So I'm a believer that you keep people in your pipeline and you communicate with them, all right? And as you communicate with them, you give them the choice and the chance to step back into the game. So look at it this way. You're on the field. You got a lot of people in the stands. You got a lot of people in the dugout. You have a few people on the field. The goal is to get the people who are in the stands. Right now, those people are disinterested, and they're not really interested in what you're doing. The goal is that somewhere along the line, those people will move from the stands into the dugout. All right? Now they're almost ready to play the game. So you got all these people in the dugout. Eventually, some of the people in the dugout will decide, I want to get on the field. Your goal is to find out with every person you speak to, are you ready to step on the field? Because if you're ready to step on the field, we can talk about how our game can help you win whatever it is you want to win in business and money and life. If you're not ready to step on the field, you're still in the dugout. My goal is to become your trusted advisor, a business advisor, and I want to maintain the position like Shirley did with me. Shirley nurtured me for almost 2 years. I was called almost 3 years ago by Jimmy Smith to get in this business with him. I was with Jimmy in the another company. And he said, Mitch, you've got to do this. Don't even think about it. Just do it. And I trust Jimmy implicitly. I would have done it. But I said to Jimmy, you know, I'm busy. I have other things going. I don't really know if this is the right time, the right place. I gave him every excuse in the book. Right? It was the most expensive no I ever said in my life. Why? Because 3 years later, where would I be if I would have just said, sure, Jimmy, I'll throw my $130 a month in.
Yep.
Okay? Where would I be? You know where I would be. I'd probably be sitting in Bimini having this call with my toes in the sand. Right? That's where I would be. However, fortunately, because Shirley knew I wasn't quite ready, and I wasn't ready 2 years ago, and I wasn't ready a year ago, Shirley continued to nurture me and continued to communicate with me. And when I moved from the dugout to the field, she was there, and she was the one I wanted to partner with and play with. And if you look at it that way, look at it as a game, all right? You want to get people into your game. And this is a great game to play. Find the ready ones. Find the people who are hungry. Find the people who are thirsty. Those are the kinds of the descriptors, the characteristics that you can use to attract people. I'm looking for hungry people. I'm looking for thirsty people. I'm looking for hungry fish, ready people. All right? That's who I'm looking for. And if you're not that person yet, I totally respect that. Who do you know who might be? This leads us to the Millionaire to Lunch, and I'm going to change the name of this after 24 years. We're officially changing the name of Rejection Proof Networking process, which I used to call Take a Millionaire to Lunch. And now, for our purposes, it's now take a future millionaire to lunch. How many of you think that you could walk out to the mall, hand out cards that said, I'm looking to take a future millionaire to lunch. Would you like to be a future millionaire? I'm buying. Figuratively speaking, all right? How many people, if you handed out 1,000 of those cards, how many people do you think would say, oh, I'd be happy to sit down over a cup of coffee with you? You think a few?
100.
Absolutely.
Okay. So your game now is to take a future millionaire to lunch. How many people do you think right now would love to have a shot to be a future millionaire who have absolutely no shot right now whatsoever? How do I know they have no shot? Pretty simple. Statistics, 2% financially independent. And that's not even a million. I mean, a million ain't what it used to be, you know? When you think about $1 million, when I first started in financial planning, get this, the second year I was in financial planning, interest rates hit 20%. So if you had $1 million, think about this. If you had $1 million in the bank in 1980, you could get $200,000 in interest a year.
Wow.
Think about that. Now, of course, interest rates dropped dramatically, but think about the difference in the world. You didn't have to go and invest your money anywhere. Who would be crazy enough to invest someplace where you could get guaranteed 20%? What do we get in savings today? That same exact vehicle 25 years later, what does it pay? $1 million in the bank, how much would it generate in interest? Come on, folks, you got get your thinking caps on here.
0.78.
Yeah, the interest is like 3/4 of a percent, so you might make $7,500 or something.
Okay, let's say it was 2%. Let's say you got really high interest in 3%, okay? $30,000 a year.
Yeah.
In a guaranteed vehicle. Totally different world. So even if you had $1 million, you would not be financially independent. You'd have to dip into your capital every year to live on. So here's what I say. I say that network marketing is better than being a millionaire. It's better than being a millionaire. Because you know what? You never actually have to be a millionaire. You never have to accumulate $1 million. Or in our world, let's say you get 2% and you wanted to live off of $50,000 a year, you'd need $2.5 million in a bank at 2%. You would even need, let's say, $1 million if you could get 5% without having to dip into your capital. So interestingly enough, as odd as it may seem, right now in this country, some of the most financially independent, successful, and secure people are network marketers. How ironic is that? Even best-selling authors, entertainers, musicians, people who have royalty income are jumping into network marketing because they recognize that long-term residuals from books don't hang on, royalties from music can drop off. This is the only vehicle in the world that can generate residual income. And the question is, do you know two people who want to play this game? Because with Isagenix's plan, you really only need two people to make the game work. So here's the process of how do you take a future millionaire to lunch. It consists of three statements. And if you get these three statements clear, you will never, ever, ever get rejected again. Statement number one, what I do. Here is what I do. Statement number two is, here is why I do it. And statement number three, and maybe the most important, here is who I'm looking for. Here's what I do. Here's why I do it. Here's who I'm looking for. If you can get clear, not if, when you get clear on how to language those statements, I didn't say perfect, clear, just clear. It'll be better today than it was yesterday. It'll be better tomorrow than it was today. It'll be better 10 people from now than the very next person you talk to. So what do you do? Why do you do it? Who are you looking for? What you do is not what you sell. What you do is not what you sell. What you do represents the results or outcomes that you help people achieve. Very important distinction. What you do is not what you sell. All right? It's the outcomes and results that you help people achieve. So when you ask yourself, what do I do? Don't think in terms of your products and services. Think in terms of the most compelling, provocative outcomes that you help people achieve. Now, we're going to go through a little exercise here to give you ways in which you can construct this statement, and we'll do this again next time, so don't feel like you have to get it all today. Today is to introduce it to you, to help you to begin to utilize it, and then the next session we'll refine it, we'll hone it, we'll improve it, and then we'll expand on it. All right? What you do. So my question to you is, when somebody says, what do? What do you say? And that could be for all of your core work, your core business. But for this exercise, let's just talk about when somebody says what you do, and you want to let them know what you do relative to Isagenics, what do you say? Anybody want to tell me what you say?
I got a head start, so.
Okay.
Do you want me to open the lines up here?
Yeah. Let's get some feedback on what you say to people when people say, what do?
Is everybody out there?
I think we just went on mute. Hello? We're still on mute for some reason.
Let me try again.
Hello?
Okay. So what do?
Okay, is everybody out there?
Is anybody out there?
Yep, I'm here.
Okay, so what do? Do you guys not say anything when somebody says what do?
Okay.
I'll jump in. This is Shirley, and I've just changed my what I say just during this conversation. And what I do is I help people build drink from a coconut income.
Cool.
I like it. That's a nice visual.
Yeah, and okay. I admittedly got a head start, but I've been practicing this, not alone, but I'm using it in practice. When people say, what do? I say, I help people start their own business so they can generate residual income and become financially independent.
Okay, there you go. What else do you say?
What else do I say? I say I'm doing it because, you know, I'm learning with the harsh reality that 98% of us are never going to make it to be financially free unless we take a different approach, and I'm out to help that 2% of people that are financially free grow. I want more of the people I know to be financially independent when they reach retirement age or even before that.
Okay, so that's a why.
Mm-hmm.
All right, let's make a distinction now between the what and the why. Okay?
Yep.
And we have some more background noise. Let me ask the rest of you, what do? What do you say when somebody says, what do? And again, this is not about criticism or this is about you honing and refining. So please be willing to jump in because we can't help you make it better if we don't know what you're saying now.
Okay,
we
come on, guys.
We don't want to put words in your mouth.
Anybody from my team want to jump in and really play this game, get something out of it today?
Find in network marketing.
Okay. And just out of curiosity, when you say I'm in network marketing, what kinds of reactions or responses do you get from people?
Pyramid.
Pyramid. Okay. What else do they say?
Oh, no, you're going to tell me something.
Okay. And who is this, by the way?
Pat.
I would love to help you to, when they say this, you say that. Like, so when somebody says, oh, that's a pyramid, and so one of the things you can turn around and say to them is, oh, really? Who told you that? Okay?
I do, and then I say, show me something that isn't a pyramid.
Ah, all right, good. I'm glad you brought that up. One of the things that we want to do is be very aware of our conversation and our language, all right? I'll tell you how I would respond if somebody said, show me something that isn't a pyramid. I would respond to prove you wrong. That's how I would respond. So how might you alter that? Just a little bit, small distinction, big change. How might you alter that one statement, show me what isn't a pyramid, to being a very positive thing that somebody would say, oh, wow, I didn't know that.
I respond with a corporation and a CEO and a CFO. And
okay,
that's
good.
What I've been doing, and most of my people understand it when I do this.
Yes. And so one of the ways that you can soften the conversation so you don't create that confrontational, you know, show me, prove me, kind of, you can use these words. Would it surprise you to learn? Would it surprise you to learn that every corporation in America is actually a pyramid? Would that surprise you?
That is much softer.
That is much softer, mm-hmm. isn't it?
Yes.
Or has anybody ever really explained to you what a pyramid actually is? Isn't that a little softer?
Yes.
A little less confrontational.
Yes.
Right? Whereas, remember, whenever you create a stimulus, now start keeping this stimulus response model in the front of your mind. Whatever you say, however you say it, the look on your face when you say it, the fire coming from your nose when you say it, right? All of that creates a stimulus. And if you want to see what your stimulus is like, don't look in the mirror. Look at the response you get.
Mm-hmm.
We often try to change people's responses, and we get more convicted, more entrenched in our stimulus. Just change the stimulus. Would it surprise you to know that every corporation in America is a pyramid? Give me another one. Give me another one that people say, well, a negative response. And let's see if we can't massage it and turn it right around.
Anybody? He's asking for some participation here.
Come on, you guys. This is your chance.
What do you get when people, when you say, here's what I do? Let's say you say network marketing. What do people say?
I say I'm a residual income builder.
And what do people say to that?
What the heck is that?
Okay, great. That's exactly what you want them to say.
Exactly.
There you go. That's a different stimulus, all right? Give me another different stimulus that could create a whole new response in somebody. I've got a list of 12 of them I wrote down this morning. I'm going to rattle them off. I actually did earlier, but I'll reiterate some of them just to stimulate your thinking. But I want to know what you say. What do you do?
Do you sell to your friend?
So that's a response you get?
Yes.
Do you sell to your friends?
Mm-hmm.
No, but some of my friends actually love to buy from me. Or another way to handle that. Why? Have you been hurt by somebody, one of your friends, selling you something in the past? What do we just do there? We just segued into finding out their experience of selling to friends.
Mm-hmm.
Now, a lot of times, somebody might say, well, do you sell to friends? Well, I sell to friends sometimes, and you start doing the tiptoe dance, you know, as opposed to changing the stimulus. Okay? What else? What else do you say that what you do? I'll tell you what. There is nothing more important than you getting a single statement of what you do that really reflects what you do and say it over and over and over and over to everybody you meet and improve it and then hone it and improve it and then hone it. What do you do?
And this goes back to the point where you were saying before that works for you, right? That works for you.
That works for you.
That paints a positive benefit, but it works for you. So what works for... But one person is not going to sound like what works for me, and that's not going to sound like what works for Shirley, unless we just happen to be cut from the same cloth, and most of us aren't.
I say I'm selling a product and a business that I'm absolutely passionate about.
Okay. good. They had people respond to that.
Really? What is it?
Good. Well, there you go. So you should be getting a very high hit rate of people saying, really, what is it? Do you?
You know what? I'm brand new to it. So I haven't used it yet.
There you
hey,
go.
That's honesty. Thank you.
That's wonderful. Okay. Now, I have no problem whatsoever of a person being totally proud of what they do and being totally upfront about it. So I wouldn't change what you say, all right? However, that said, maybe you can hone it a little or alter some of the words a little that really, really get people's attention. And I don't want to change what's working. See, the idea here is not to stop doing what's already working for you. The idea is to make a little adjustment where you feel a little adjustment will improve what you're doing.
Bring it on.
All right.
What about this, Mitch? I'm in network marketing to help people enjoy better health.
Okay, that's fine.
Is that bad?
No, there's no good or bad here. So put that out of your mind. There's no good
okay.
or bad. There's only okay, better, and best, right? And better than that. So I would say the words network marketing, do they add or do they subtract to that stimulus? If they add to the stimulus, keep it. If it improves the stimulus, keep it.
But if you're proud of it, I feel a need to say it.
Okay. What I just said is if it works for you, then do not change what works. Just be prepared to be flexible enough that when you meet somebody who may get turned off to network marketing, be prepared to what you're going to say next. All right?
Okay.
I'll tell you what. You can walk around telling everybody you're in network marketing and you're darn proud of it and you're passionate about it and you're looking for people who would like to also be part of it and proud of it and passionate about it and professional in doing it. Do you know anybody like that? I got news for you. If you said that to 100 people in a network using this approach, you would have great success. See, it's not so much only about the words. It's about the intention behind the words. It's about the conviction. It's about the no apologies, no defensiveness, not trying to change people's minds, not trying to change their point of view, but putting it out there and giving them the opportunity to be attracted to you as opposed to being repelled from you. All right? So I have no problem whatsoever with you saying that. Just be alert to how people respond to it and improve it as you go along, okay? So let me read off a bunch of things that I've come up with, if nothing else, just to stimulate your thinking. And then I want to move on to the next piece, which is why you do what you're doing, and then we'll finish up with who you're looking for. All right, here's a few things that I wrote down today. I help people leverage a three-figure investment into a five- and six-figure income for life. I help people insulate against economic change, pension shortfall, and stock market fluctuations. Here's a great one. I get paid well to network. Do you know anybody who would like to get paid well to network or be good at it? I help people get into a business so they can choose to quit their job in 3 years or less. I help people ensure their retirement no matter what happens to their Social Security or pension. I am part of a residual income club. I'm for players who would like to invest $130 a month with the possibility of earning $1,000 to $10,000 a week. Do you know anybody like that? I'm looking for future millionaires. Know anyone? I help people get more money for college when college is 3 years away or less. I work with people to become financially independent in 3 to 5 years. What I do is help people eliminate toxins, and safely lose weight in 9 days. I help people build their net worth and their self-worth. And the bottom line, folks, here's the deal. When I was in financial planning 27 years ago, I got into the business, and I was selling life insurance. I didn't want to say I sold life insurance. You know, it was like the quickest way to have people leave the room. I sell life insurance, and I'm damn proud of it, right? I'm in network marketing. I used to say to people, and they said, what do you do? And this is your fail-safe. I'm in the transportation business. Really? Yes. I help people get from where they are to where they want to be financially. And I will tell you that most of the people, when they heard that, they laughed and they chuckled and they say, oh, you sell life insurance, right? But I will also tell you that I completely changed the response that most people had, because worst case scenario, it gave me a way to open the door to have a conversation in the present without the past bad experience coloring the conversation. So I don't know how many I just ran through. Does anybody else have any they'd like to throw out now before we move to the next phase of this? What you do when somebody says, what do you do that works for you? Remember, we're all a team. So sharing this does not diminish you. By lighting somebody else up, you don't diminish your own light. So if you have something to share now that works for you, would you please be willing to share it?
Or even something that doesn't work.
I say something, this is what I say most of the time, is I help people add more money to their bank accounts.
You help people add what?
I help people add more money to their bank account.
Good.
I help people have choices.
Good. Anybody else? Okay, so one last distinction, then we move on.
Yeah, and I don't know how much longer this line's going to last us, Mitch.
We'll see. Yeah, we'll see. Here's one last distinction. You know how most people say, if I could show you a way? You've heard that line before?
Right.
Mm-hmm.
I recommend that what you do is you say, if you found a way, if you discovered a way, suppose there were a way, get I out of the conversation as much as possible. Except in this next part of the Take a Future Millionaire to Lunch, which is now why you do what you do. Why you do what you do. Forever in the network marketing industry, we've heard about the crux of your business is your why, W-H-Y, okay? Personally, I don't believe that's the most important part of the business. I believe the most important part of the business is conveying what you do and who you're looking for. Because quite frankly, I hate to tell you this, some people don't really care why you do what you do. And so you've got to watch out for that whole idea of your story. Where it can be very effective is where you put it in the context of why you do what you do. And do your best to shorten your story. Because remember, what matters to somebody else is what matters to them. And to the degree your story matters to them, really only matters to them if it connects to them in some way, if it relates to them in some way. That being said, why you do what you do is a very powerful declarative statement if you can get it to be succinct and you don't take, you know, 5-6 minutes to tell your long-winded story. So why do you do what you do? That's not a rhetorical question. I'm curious. Why do you do what you do?
I do what I do because most people that I know are not financially independent, and it doesn't look like they're going to be financially independent, and I want to help them be financially independent by the time they retire or sooner.
Wonderful. Why do you do what you do?
It gives me choices. I decide what I want to do rather than having it dictated to me.
Wonderful. Why do you do what you do?
I believe that if I help enough people get what they want, I'll get what I need, what I would like in life.
Beautiful. Beautiful. Excellent. Why do you do what you do? Okay. One of your assignments is to figure out why you do what you do. Obviously, we all want to make money. Come up with a second reason, all right? So why you do what you do. By the way, just taking one step backwards, one of the ways you can figure out what you do, and this is a tremendous shortcut, and especially good for those of you who are not yet sure of what you do, if you're in the business for any length of time, go back to the people you brought in the business and ask them one simple question. And we're going to cover this one question, actually is five questions, is the first of five. This one question, we're going to show you how to use this question to get massive amounts of referrals from people. Would that be helpful? If you could have one question that could get you massive amounts of referrals from people?
You bet.
Okay. Here's the question. Why did you join Isagenics? How many of you have asked every single person in your organization, why did you join Isagenics?
I haven't asked anybody.
I will guarantee you, if I went to every single distributor in the company and said, how many of you have asked everybody that you sponsored and enrolled why you came into the business, I'll bet not one in 1,000 people would have asked. Because not one in 1,000 companies ever ask people, why did you do business with us? So, preferred customers, why did you decide to start on the products? Why did you decide to take Isagenics products? People who are in the business, why did you decide to play the game with us? All right? And I will tell you what will happen. You will get an amazing amount of great information that will help you to not only construct your what statement, what you do, but But here's what you'll also be able to do. You'll be able to use the four most powerful words of social proof. Our distributors tell us. Imagine if you're talking to somebody and they say, what do you do? Well, here's what our distributors tell us we do. And now you tell somebody why people buy from you. And it's not your words, it's the distributor's words. Why do people join your team? I could tell you why people join my team from my perspective, but you know what? Let me share with you what our team members say that why they join our team. Very, very powerful, okay? It'll also help you to maybe formulate your why if you're not really sure why you're doing what you're doing. Now, don't get too hung up on your why. I know this flies in the face of what most of the industry says, which is you've got to have a why. It's good to have a why. I strongly encourage it. It's the central pivot point in the million, Take a Future Millionaire to Lunch. However, that being said, if you're not clear about your why yet, then just move right on to the who. Go from the what you do to the who you're looking for. You will come up with your why, all right? And not everybody's interested in your why. So if you don't share your why, don't feel as though you've missed the boat and you now can't sail. No. Why? Because if you know what you do, and you can tell people that, and then maybe most importantly, you can tell people who you're looking for, you can turn every single person in the world into a networking resource, and you will never be rejected. Imagine the difference. You make up your list of 100 people. Many of them are family, friends, associates, etc. Right off the bat, you're scared to death because you don't want to alienate people. You don't want to anger them. You don't want to, have them be repelled by you. And so you start crossing people off the list right away. I'm not going to talk to this one. I'm not going to talk to that one. Why? Here's why. Because the past was about pitching them on why they should be as excited about the products as you, the business as you, et cetera, et cetera, et cetera. And so here's what statistically what happens usually is 90 people say no. A few of them say hell no, right? Five of them say maybe. And three of them say I'm interested. Two of them say, okay, let's go. Now, the question remains, what do you do with the 90 who said no or hell no? If those people will ever talk to you again, right? Some of them,
might actually come back around. But most of them, you might never approach again. Why? We have this idea that a no is a forever no. It's not the case. So here's how the million, take a future millionaire to lunch, changes the whole game. Imagine if you went to those 100 people, and instead of doing whatever you did in the past, in the future you do the millionaire to lunch. You say, here's what I do, here's why I do it, and here's who I'm looking for. Who do you know? Where should I go? That's the millionaire, take a future millionaire to lunch that will rejection-proof your networking. Here's what I do. Here's why I do it. Here's who I'm looking for. Who do you know? Where should I go? If you were in my shoes, who would you talk to? What advice would you have for me if I'm looking for these kinds of people? Now, what could happen when you say to somebody, even the 90 who you might have approached already, who you think you might have burnt the bridge with, imagine being able to go back to them now and saying, hey, here's what I do, here's why I do it, here's who I'm looking for. I know I talked to you once in the past, and I appreciated that you were not interested. I'm just wondering, who do you know? Would it be likely that anybody would actually reject you?
No.
What could they say?
Can I give you a real live example?
Please.
All right. I'm a super skeptic cynic, so when you tell me all these great ideas, I want to try them out and see if they really work. Make a long story short, I called up, just this last week, I called up a friend of mine, Ann, who I'd exposed to other similar businesses with another company and got the no to hell no response. I called her up. We talked for a little while, and I said, hey, Ann, I really could use your help. Would you help me? Of course, she said, sure, I'll help you. What do you need? And I said, you know, you may not know this, but I've, you know, really been focusing on a completely different path to generate income for my family. I'm helping people start their own businesses so they can generate residual income, because so many people are going to reach retirement and not be financially secure. I'm looking for people that are open-minded, that are willing to get a little education before they make a decision, and that would be interested in building residual income without jeopardizing what they're currently doing. Do you know anybody, and could you please tell me who you know, that sounds like my kind of person? And you know what she said? And I was expecting her to say, oh, my God, is this another one of those pyramid schemes? She said, is this a multi-level marketing opportunity? And I said, yeah, it sure is, but it's vastly different than things we talked about before. She said, really, do you have meetings where people can learn more about it? And I said, yes. She said, when are they? Would you send me some information so I could take a look at it before I tell other people about it?
And that was somebody who had rejected it in the past.
I about fell over backwards. She was asking me for information. Of course, I told her to get lost.
Chris, invite her to my house on Wednesday night.
You know I will be doing that. Yeah.
Anybody else have anything on this? All I can say to you folks is we've used this with almost every other industry, except network marketing, hasn't caught on to this yet, but they will. I've done quite a few seminars, webinars for Networking Times, and one of those was about rejection-proof networking. And I must tell you, we've gotten probably more emails from people who have said, thank you for resurrecting my career. Thank you for giving me a way to be authentically me in this game. Because I felt so uncomfortable approaching people. Here, you will never feel uncomfortable approaching people. And guess what? Even if you do feel a little uncomfortable, go ahead and try it anyway, because you're going to find an amazing thing. If you don't try to convince people to play your game, and yet you ask people for help to find players for your game, you will be absolutely astonished at how many people would be willing to be a stakeholder in your future and your life. It's only when we try to get people in our game that they get defensive, remember, stimulus response. All right? So alter the stimulus. Here's what I do. Here's why I do it. Here's who I'm looking for. So let me ask you, very important for us to do this as a team. Who are we looking for? We must brainstorm this. Who are we looking for? Give me words, short sentences that describe the people that we would be looking for to become part of our team to play this game with us.
Team players.
Team players. Good. Who else?
Self-starters.
Self-starters.
People.
Connectors.
Connectors. Excellent. Who else? Who are we looking for?
Open minds.
Okay.
People that want to improve their life.
People that want to improve their life. Who are we looking for?
Persistence.
One at a time. Say that again.
People with persistence.
Good. People with persistence. Who are we looking for?
People willing to try something new.
Okay. Possibly willing to try something new. Good.
Positive people.
Who else? Somebody said network marketers?
Yeah, I did.
Excellent.
Yeah.
Oh, sure. Just think of how many. Think about this. If all you said was, we're looking for network marketers who want to play a new game, who want to win a new game of network marketing, if you said that to everybody you know, one thing you could be sure of, doesn't everybody know a network marketer?
Mm-hmm.
Right? So you don't need to get any fancier than that. But let's talk about who else are you looking for. So this way, you can construct your own authentic description of who you're looking for. Who do you want to partner with?
How about people that are looking to help other people?
There you go. People that are looking to help other people. Who else are we looking for?
People who want to quit their job.
Or people that just got laid off from their job.
Right. People who want to retire early.
There you go. Who else?
Busy people. Bank account.
Okay.
Busy people. I like that one. I'm looking for busy people.
I'm looking for busy people. How about this one? I'm looking for people who've gotten burned in network marketing before.
Cool.
I'm looking for people who have had a bad past experience with network marketing.
Cool. I like that.
I'm looking for people who are currently in network marketing and feel frustrated that they can't fulfill their objectives where they are.
Hmm.
You guys got a few ideas here today?
Yeah, absolutely.
Mm-hmm.
I don't know if it's worth the money, though.
Well, only you can decide that.
I'm being a little bit smart, Alec. Mitch, this has just been a tremendous conversation. I don't know about anybody else, but I've gotten just a ton out of it.
Absolutely.
And I acknowledge the fact that you've taken the last couple of hours to just give us this huge gift. And for me, the best way I can honor this gift is to go out and use it, unlike the French language I studied in high school where I learned how to speak French and then never did it. And guess what? It didn't do anything for me.
Mm-hmm.
Well, I appreciate that, Chris. I would like to take just 2-3 minutes here. And hopefully we still have tape, which I'm sure we do. We're still alive. So I want to talk about isogenics in particular. And I want to give you my perspective of why isogenics is a great horse to ride. All right? One of the principles of the new game of business is to ask yourself, are you a jockey or are you a horse? Everybody needs a horse to ride, even horses. All right. Most horses need to fall in love with your products and services. Instead, fall in love with serving people.
Mm-hmm.
If you fall in love with your products and services, you become an evangelist. There's nothing wrong with that. Don't take that as it's wrong. Nothing wrong. However, what happens is people can get put back on their heels by overly enthusiastic people. Maintain a high level of belief in what you do. It's very important. But instead of falling in love with the products and services, fall in love with serving people. And when I went to the Isogenics Top Achiever meeting, there were some things that stood out at me as a business consultant that I looked at this company from a business perspective, not because I'm in love with the products or services. And here's a few things that I believe, if you want to incorporate them into your conversation very quickly. They demonstrate the three P's, people, products, and profit. At an intrinsic level, they treat people as human beings. They have an excellent product line. Is it the best? Nobody knows. Doesn't have to be the best. The products work for the people that want them. Profit, they have a phenomenal profit model. The next thing was when I heard Kathy Coover said, our goal is 80% retention. That immediately told me this is a new game company. Why? Because most old game companies are only concerned with how many people they sponsor, just like traditional marketing companies are mostly concerned with how many people they sell and convert, and they don't put an emphasis on how many people they keep. This company wants to keep 80% of the people that come through the door. That told me it's a new game company. Philanthropy. There are a lot of people out there who don't care about money, they don't care about products, but they're philanthropic. They revealed the child help program where you don't have to take the products, you don't have to even like the products. You can create a philanthropic relationship where you can actually qualify every month to do the business and earn money and donate the product to children who need it. That's a new game company. Their compensation plan, simple, two legs, two teams, one on the left, one on the right. Unique in that they pay out 50%. They're saying, we're going to reward the people who help us build the company. Succession plan. How many companies out there right now, if you went and polled them, their CEO, their top executives have a succession plan that if, God forbid, something terrible happened to their executive team, the company would continue on without them. I'll bet you don't have a succession plan in your business. I don't have a succession plan in my business, as much as I hate to admit it. But I sure as heck am going to find one in the next year, because if something, God forbid, happens to me, I don't want my work to stop. They're a private company. Very big difference. Why? Because we are stakeholders, and that's who they're beholden to, not their shareholders. And the people that take the products, the people that sell the products, are the people that are benefiting. And they're a long-term player. They're in it to change the game. And so I've seen lots of companies. You could say there's lots of good companies out there. This is the horse I'm riding, and this is the kind of game that I want to play. And the last thing I will say to you is, for those of you who might want to attend the Success Mastery program at the end of April in Miami, I'm one of the speakers there along with Les Brown and Barry Donaldson and a few other people in the industry. I have 10 half-price tickets. The ticket price is $297. As a speaker, they've given us 10 half-price tickets. If any of you want to attend that program, let me know. You're welcome to take one of the half-price tickets. If we run out of the 10, I might be able to get 10 more. And for any of you that might want to go down there, if you do, we'll have a separate session, 2 hours of private coaching as a group for all of us that go down there. Okay, so that's all I have to say today. I hope you found this to be helpful. You'll be the judge of that, and if you did and you want to do it again, we'll do a follow-up session in a couple of weeks on how you get mega referrals and to hone this process a little bit further.
Mitch, I want to thank you so very, very much. This has just been so wonderful, and thank you for taking your time and giving us all of your experience and your knowledge as a gift to us, and we accept that, and we love it, and thank you so much.
Well, thank you. It's my pleasure.
Well said. Thank you very much.
We'll have this tape available. For those of you who want to listen to it again, I'll get it to Chris, and he'll pass it along to you guys.
Great.
Thank you.
Thanks, Chris, everybody, for participation. Go out and try some of this stuff and see what happens.
Absolutely.
So I'll leave you with this quote from Winston Churchill, and I always end my programs with it. I think the dog actually said it better than I did.
Whoever's got the dog, press 6, please.
We stumble over the truth.
Whoops.
We stumble over the truth from time to time, but most of us pick ourselves up and hurry off as if nothing ever happened.
Yeah, that's great.
I genuinely hope you hurry off, but you apply any one of these strategies, and I'd love to hear about the success. Thank you very much, and you guys have a great week.
Thanks, Mr.
Thank you,
awesome.
Mitch. Yep.
Thanks, Shirley. Thanks, everybody.
Thank you. Bye. Thank you, Shirley.